listening to the Air Charter Podcast, the industry's exciting new information and features podcast brought to you by the Air Charter Association. In this week's episode, we've got a fantastic interview with Nick Weston, the Air Charter Association Chairman. Nick will be giving us an insight to his background, his experience, and his involvement as the newly appointed Chairman of the Association. So join me, Kevin Duxbury, in the Air Charter Association Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode number 3 of the Air Charter Podcast. I'm Kevin Duxbury and thank you for joining me on the industry's only podcast dedicated to the air charter industry and brought to you by the Air Charter Association. So I hope you've been enjoying the content that we've had for you so far, and today we have another great episode for you as we have Air Charter Association royalty with us today, as we'll be hearing from the association's chairman, Nick Weston, who will be joining me to give us an insight to his role as chairman and his vision and plans for the association. Before we hear from Nick, though, let's get some industry news. In broken news, Swiss-headquartered charter specialist Virtus Aviation has ramped up its usage of its newly launched aviation app. Since the launch of the app during eBase in May, more than 100 users have signed up for the app, which provides charter quotes, empty leg alerts, and seat-only booking options. A year in the making, the app has been welcomed by users for its intelligent application of digital technology to supplement Virtus's personal service. The increase in uptake has been led by the USA users, where Virtus has recently opened a new office in Boston. And jet charter company Victor launched its climate action strategy by committing to change the private aviation industry through a series of environmental commitments aimed at reducing and mitigating the greenhouse gas emissions of private jets. Victor's new climate action strategy aims to create an immediate call to action and establish a sustainability benchmark for the $26.1 billion jet charter industry in support of the UK government's recent commitment as the first G7 country to a net zero target by 2050. For you to have your latest news read out in our news spot, please contact us at admin@theaircharterassociation.aero. Now, before we get into our main feature, let's have a message from our sponsor. Since 1995, Western Aviation has been providing the highest level of aviation services across the UK. Now, with 5 locations across England and Ireland, providing full FBO, fuel and ground handling services, Western Aviation has become known as the UK's premium aviation services provider. In addition to their 4 FBO facilities located in Gloucestershire, Humberside, Newquay and Cork, Western Aviation provides specialist cargo handling, trip support services, specialist military handling services, and private jet and cargo charters. But whether you're looking to use one of their FBOs or asking them to arrange flight planning support for one of your charter trips, the team at Western Aviation are always on hand to support your aviation needs. Get in touch with them now via their website at www.westernaviation.com. And as a special promotion, if you mention this sponsorship message, you'll receive a 15% discount on any service that Western Aviation provide up to the end of August 2019. This excludes any fuel supply. And as a quick reminder, if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the podcast, then please do get in touch with us. We've got various sponsorship packages available. And as I've said previously, all revenue that we generate through the association gets put back in to the membership and is used for the initiatives that we do on behalf of our members. So it is a worthwhile thing doing, and it's an ideal opportunity for you to promote your organisation to the podcast audience. So if you do want to sponsor, then please do get in touch with us. The usual contact details are available in the show notes, and we'd be happy to fix that up for you. So in just a moment, we're going to hear from Nick Weston, who is the chairman of the Air Charter Association. Nick was appointed chairman earlier this year after serving as vice chairman following a unanimous vote from the council to appoint him as the 25th chairman of the association. It's a very insightful interview with lots of great information on Nick's background, his experience, and where he wants to take the association during his tenure as chairman. So let's get into the interview and hear from Nick. You're listening to the Air Charter Podcast, the industry's exciting new information and features podcast brought to you by the Air Charter Association. So, Nick, thank you for joining us on your first, but I'm sure not your only appearance on the HRO podcast. And thanks for taking the time out of your very busy schedule. I'm sure many people listening know that you also run a very successful aviation business in addition to all of the great work that you do for the association. So we really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today.
No, thank you very much, Kevin. No, delighted to be asked. Thank you.
Good. So we're going to dig into some of the hardcore association questions in a little while. But before we do, I wonder if you can just give us a little bit of information on you first, maybe good for those people listening who don't know you so well, to find out a little bit about you, how you got into aviation, your experience in aviation, and how you first came to be involved in the Air Charter Association.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all. Well, I started in 1985 when I went into the Royal Air Force in the Air Movements branch. Always had a fascination and with aircraft, which stemmed from many years ago when I was, it was always family holidays down in Cornwall. My parents had a caravan and it always coincided in what was called Leicester Fortnight in July, which always coincided with the RNAS Caldros Air Show. Okay. So it all started from there, really. That sort of got me hooked. A lot of same route a lot of people take through the Air Training Corps and the Air Cadets did that, and that was it. You know, for me, it was mapped out. It was when I was able to join the RAF, which I did. So I went into in 1985 into the Air Movements branch in the Air Force.
Okay.
So primarily, the Air Movements branch is responsible for the movement of all cargo and passengers of all three services worldwide. So after initial basic training and trade training, my first posting was at RAF Northolt, which at the time predominantly was there for, as well as the occasional, isn't what it is today, but the occasional civilian movements. We were mainly there for the movement of royalty, heads of state, serving ministers through transiting London. So it was very much a white glove and white belt PCAP sort of role with royalty on a daily basis. So that was working alongside 32 Squadron. And then after that to RAF Bryce Norton, more on the air cargo side in the cargo shed on the freight side, building pallets, weight and balance, load distribution and load control for the TriStars and VC-10s. And then I went off to then Belize in Central America for 6 months. And back to Bryce Norton again, which when then I thought, right, I've done 6 years, time to have a go at civil aviation. So I think about 1994, I then left the RAF and started working for a number of ground handling companies, Ogden Aviation and Service Air at Birmingham. And then I first got introduced to aircraft chartering. I became the air charter coordinator for TNT Aviation based in Windsor. And it was there when I was sort of about a year. And I thought, well, I can do better. There's better ways to do this. There's more increased service level. So I created Western Air International, the original aircraft charter brokerage company in 1995. And really, it's gone from there. We operated for 6 years purely in charter sales. And we thought there was a significant gap in the market for an FBO quality style service at regional airports, where at the time none existed. So that then sort of led on to the second company, Western Aviation Support Limited. And we opened FBO facilities at initially at Coventry Airport and then on to where we have them now at our existing locations at Humberside Airport, Gloucestershire Airport, Newquay, in Cornwall and Cork Airport in Ireland. So that kind of takes us up to current day.
Excellent. And when did you first sort of get in involved with the association, the Air Charter Association? When obviously you became a member first, I should imagine. And then what sort of year was that?
Yeah, well, I it was shortly after starting the original charter sales company. I joined the Air Charter Association then. So that was about 1996. So coming up to about 23, 24 years now as a member. So it was just a complete logical step. I knew airlines like Atlantic Airlines and a few other local companies that were members, and just to me it was the only way really to be in the charter industry that it had to be part of the association. And, you know, 25 years on, never looked back. And that led to 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think it was about 4 years ago, we joined the council. I thought it was time to give something back to an association I've been a member of for a very long time. Then going to be deputy chairman 2 years ago, and taking over this year from Richard in March as chairman.
Excellent. And just going back onto Western Aviation for a moment, your business. So what does your business, you mentioned the FBOs that you've got, but what does your business kind of look like today in some of the key areas of charter now of the industry? And you know, how is your business involved, and more specifically, you involved personally on a day-to-day basis with charter work?
We've got four owned FBOs, which are Western Aviation branded. We're now looking to, you know, see where we go next. And we're looking now to launch a partnership product where, rather than going in competition with other independent FBOs or networks, we're looking to partner with them. Because we think it makes a lot more sense than trying to, particularly on a regional basis, to compete. And that's, we get a lot of initial interest in that, and that's going really well. But mainly the locations we have, we provide the traditional business jet FBO service, looking after passenger aircraft that come in and all the associated services that go with that. But we also look after cargo aircraft as well. That's part of a service that we offer. Fuel provision and all the additional services that go with it, catering, onward travel, road transportation. But also we're quite attractive business to airports, particularly regional airports, because we try to break away from the traditional mold of an FBO. Yes, we call ourselves an FBO to be recognized for what we do, and crews can relate to that, and brokers and operators, but we're more of a resource to our airports companies that we're with, because it's more difficult and it's more challenging on a regional basis, because there is tend to be less traffic. We're there on a development role as well, so we're there to make local awareness of business aviation to the airports that we operate. So we're there proactively generating traffic. So we're quite unique as an FBO, and that's what we do.
But obviously, with the ancillary services that you do, and you mentioned cargo as well as business aviation, you're very well spread across the whole industry rather than just one particular area. So you've got FBO, you've got flight support, you've got fuel services, you've got cargo handling, all of that sort. So it gives you both as an individual as a company a really good overview of the whole industry.
It is absolutely, and this is why another factor why I was interested in sort of progressing as within the association to go further, because I can relate to pretty much most of our membership. Deal on a daily basis with every element, whether it be airport, trip support, broker, operator, other FBO. So it does the way that Western Aviation is now structured is very. It's a very flexible product. It's quite an attractive product. It's totally fluid. So basically we say to our airports, well, where do you want us to fit in? We're not a product in a box. Mm. But my personal role within the company now as CEO, I'm more something I really enjoy, which is the commercial side. I'd look for new airports, new opportunities, new projects, new areas of development or business, and I've got a very good team behind me then once a project is in place to then run with that project and develop it further.
Fantastic. Excellent. Okay, great. So in the first podcast episode, we looked at what the association does, the Air Charter Association, and some of its history, and also what initiatives now the council is doing and taking forward to further improve what the Air Charter Association is doing for its members. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, then please do go back and check out our previous episodes. And obviously, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can get future episodes coming out as well. But Nick, having been involved now with the association for a while, as you mentioned, what do you think predominantly has changed over the years with the association, and what does it stand for in today's market?
We've been a member now nearly 25 years and see a significant change in it. It's always been relevant. It's always been there for the interest of aircraft brokers. But what's particularly changed, particularly in recent years, is it's become, far more of an authority. I mean, the air charter station now is respected and recognised, by regulators. If there is an issue in the industry, if something needs addressing, people do come to the Air Charter Association. Their government departments are aware of us now. They do recognise the work that we do. So that's the big difference. I think it's always been an excellent and super networking event. Sorry, an event and association, but it's just far more significant. It is now, if people think of aircraft chartering, whether it be regulator or authority, we are the people, as the association now that people do turn to. So it's completely changed, and particularly with recent rebranding now to the Air Charter Association, it is far more relevant. It's a significant step forward following the rebranding change and the whole look and the structure. We're now a limited company. It's just really fit for purpose and totally lined up and set, to go for a very good, positive and bright future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got, we've got fantastic momentum as people are reporting back to us. So I think, the, like you say, the days of it just being a networking association are long gone, and we're making, in fact, that's now probably a very small part of what the association does.
Indeed,
So
absolutely.
fantastic. Excellent. And on the last episode, we had Dave Edwards on the show, and he, by the way, gave a great interview on what the association is doing to combat illegal charters, which obviously proves, as we just mentioned, some of the things that we're doing from a regulatory point of view. And now obviously Dave is the CEO of the association. Now, obviously, being on the council myself, I know what the two roles do, but for those listening, can you maybe just briefly go into what role you have as chairman and how possibly Dave, in his CEO role, kind of complements that?
Yeah, certainly. The position of the CEO was something we brought in, I think, about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. We got to a point where we had a great executive team in Madeleine. Obviously, we had Nikki in support, but we needed sort of somebody to look at the structure to actually bring in corporate governance. And the two sides work very, very well. My key role really as chairman of the association is I'm there sort of as the key leading figure, for the association, but also for the council. So my role is to guide and direct the council and to chair the monthly meetings, but also which is quite new as well as the chair, as well as the deputy, we're also the directors of the company. So we're now a limited company. We've got liabilities and responsibilities, so we're very accountable from that point of view. The CEO, it works very well, particularly myself and Dave, with our history in the association. We've both been members for many, many, many years, and we work very well. The two roles work very well in parallel, but also, in conjunction with each other. We've done a number of trips, particularly regarding legal charter, together, because we've got we've got those joint combined skills. Dave is particularly a specialist in the air, and I'm more of a specialist on the ground, so it works very, very well. So it is. It's to get that structure we got together now. I mean, obviously, the role of the CEO is the day-to-day running of the association. The structure is good. It's solid. Dave is responsible for the corporate governance of the association, and the way I see my position is really to lead the overall picture, but also as well to work closely with the council and direct the council on that side.
Okay, great. And obviously newly appointed chairman, as you've just described, you've got a very dynamic and experienced CEO to work with, and even if I do say so myself, a very dedicated and experienced council to support you,
Indeed, indeed.
a great admin and executive team to support as well. So, I know from that you've got
Absolutely.
a, sitting in on council, we've got a lot of ideas and ambitions, and you personally coming in onto the chair, I've got a huge amount of fantastic ideas and ambitions to take the association forward. But are you would you mind sharing some of those with us on the podcast in terms of what you've got planned?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, just as you point out there, what I really, one of the big key things I was really interested in sort of taking over the role of the chairman, And then the position of the chair was that of the council, the strength we've got in the council, the experience level is just quite phenomenal. You know, it's such a dynamic team. There is nothing that we can approach or any project we're asked to look at that we haven't got that significant relevant experience. But going forward, we wanted to get the rebranding, the structure right, and now that's all done. Very successful launch last week in London. And going forward, what we're looking for is the international development is very, very keen. Something we're certainly looking to do. We're looking forward to the training side of it to develop that further forward. A lot of the rebranding was to do with the globalization so that we can make it relevant to go to take it internationally. So it's something that we're sort of looking now to take it forward, to take it to somewhere hopefully that it hasn't been before and places it's been before, you know, a lot better.
Okay, and you mentioned a couple of things there, but for the membership listening on the sense of timescales and kind of priorities in terms of giving an idea of how the association is, you know, going to further increase its momentum, what would you say are the top three that probably the council are going to focus on perhaps over the sort of next 12 to 18 months?
The main three priorities to look at the moment is, the international development side of it. That's quite key. That's what we made a lot of the changes for. So that's something we've always been progressing well, and it's something we're going to have to keep working on. A lot of interest overseas for partnerships. Of course, the legal layer charter, that's something that's going to be very, very much foremost in our agenda list for the next 12 months, and obviously ongoing until things do actually change. But also, as a third very important item as well, is the training. The standards of the charter industry, primarily obviously through aircraft charter brokering, and keeping the reputation of brokers, what we do at high level, still focusing on accreditation, but also keep working on the invaluable networking. So the main key things are the globalization, which is something I was very keen on continuing with that this year, the legal charters and training, really, because it's something that's very, very key that we can't not really ever drop, because we've just got to keep progressing.
Sure. And when you mean the training, you mean the actual broker training and
yeah, broker that, training days. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And we are putting some initiatives in place to actually have some formal sort of individual broker accreditation program, aren't we? So that's something that obviously, as you say, we're keen on focusing over the next 12 months. So brilliant. Okay, great. So just maybe for the wider audience rather than just the membership, because obviously the membership, probably a lot of people are already in the industry, but for those maybe sort of outside of the industry having a listen to this podcast, what advice could you give? Because you mentioned earlier you got into aviation through the RAF, but there's many, many different ways of getting into aviation. So for those listening that either want to get in to aviation and get involved in the charter industry specifically, or maybe already in the industry but maybe want to widen their knowledge or breadth of experience, what kind of advice could you give?
I'd like to say that there's a number of ways coming into our industry, and again, something I'm very keen to be involved in is to bring young people into business aviation and aircraft chartering at a very young sort of stage. My sort of recommendation would be, get as much experience as you can, work in as many departments as possible, talk to people and just ask for, can I come and spend a day here, a day there? And you'll soon sort of find what area you like best. As an FBO, we often see that, we feel that we're very much a training ground as well as a company, because we'll have people come to us with a frozen ATPL. We know they're going to go flying, and we're fully supportive of that. We see it happen quite a lot, my only advice would be, or my best advice would be, just try and get as much experience and knowledge in as many different areas as possible. And people who are already in the industry, again, ask, if you're a broker, ask an FBO if you can come and visit for the day. If you're an operator, ask them if you can probably go and go and work in an operator's operations department for a day. You know, because and you eventually find to see go to see something that you know suits you best, that you like, and also as well with the Air Charter Association, when we have our training days and such events such as ACE, you know, go along, you know, and see and talk to everybody, talk to people there, you know, speak to the people on the stands, and just see what other areas of our industry there is, because it's significant. You know, we've got lots of different variations on our industry that all come together to make the whole thing work.
Sure. And I know obviously at council we've talked about this already, but you know, we're very keen to try and get in in partnership with colleges or with universities or with apprenticeships and things like that, mm-hmm. to try and help promote, as you said, the vast range of different positions and experiences that there are within the charter industry, not just the kind of normal people assume that, you know, pilot, flight attendant or engineer is the sort of most common ones, yep. that people think of, but there's so many vast, varied different positions in the industry. And we're, you know, if there is anybody listening that is interested in trying to work with us at the association to open up that channel and get people a little bit more educated on what opportunities there are in the industry, then that's something we're really keen to do.
Yes, absolutely, indeed. It's something we've spoke about, you know, within the council, is there, Kevin, you know, a number of times, and I think it just works that we go into colleges and universities and get the association part of the curriculum. I've seen it a number of times where I spoke to somebody who's probably left with a degree in air transport management or airport management, and business aviation in particular is a very small percentage of that course, and people who actually leave though with those degrees don't go into, you know, they all say, oh, I'm going to go for the airlines, I'm going to go for airports, you know, there's not many people say I want to go into business aviation. So I think it's or an aircraft chartering, and it's quite important, I think, we get in at that early stage to actually make people aware of what we do, so they see it as aircraft charter or business aviation operations is something they'd like to do, you know, rather than it's something other people go into and eventually come around to it, but go directly at a young age into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Well, so those already in the industry, let's say, but maybe are not members of the association yet, maybe there's a chance now for you to do a bit of a pitch. And, you know, question is, why would somebody in the air charter industry want to join the Air Charter Association?
Yeah, no, it's a very good question, Kevin, because to be honest, it's the most widely widespread question at the moment or discussion I have with people, either through my own daily business dealings with Western Aviation or if I'm, you know, on business for the Air Charter Association. And to be honest, it's quite a straightforward and to me a very logical sort of answer. It's for the relatively low cost of being a member, the return on that I feel is significant. You know, what the association enables people to do is to network at the highest level with everybody in the industry, and it's almost like I want to say it's very, I can say it's very difficult probably to be in the industry if you weren't a member, and I only say that because I've seen it personally for 25 years nearly, and I've always, the way I've always seen the value is that, you know, when we were involved in charter sales, I'd take people in from my charter department to go and meet operators. You can meet them all in one day, in one location, you know, rather than doing many, many day trips to go and see people. And I'm a big believer in people deal with people differently if they've met them, if they know who they are, if they spoke with them, rather than just, particularly in these days now, of everybody is quite tempted to send an email or rather than pick up the phone. It's just face-to-face networking, and that's the big value for me. But also it is quite a wide work, you know, wide network. There's so many other things that we do offer. I mean, at the moment we're combating illegal charters so greatly because that's taking revenue, you know, from our AFC operators who invest great money. It also undermines the charter brokers industry as well. And we're talking to regulators all the time to improve things, to make things better. And we do that all on behalf of our members. So it's to me, it's a great networking opportunity. It's extremely cost effective. It's all part of being, you know, part of a great association, but also it's that accreditation. It's that to say we are part of the Air Charter Association. And, you know, if we're going to be doing our job right as the council, we want the buying public to go, you know, to recognize that, you know, you are a member of the Air Charter Association, and that brings a confirmation of a level of, you know, professionalism that everybody will want to expect if they're going to charter, you know, something like an aircraft, either cargo or passenger.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the initiatives, like this podcast, for example, one of the reasons we've done this is to get that message out to the paying public. You know, I mean, obviously a lot of people within the industry already know of the Air Charter Association, but you know, those hopefully outside of it can then have some comfort that the companies that they're dealing with are part of a trade association that supports professionalism, safety, and everything that goes along with you know, the good professional conduct that we have within the industry. So yeah, okay, brilliant. Thanks very much. So finally, Nick, one final question for you, if that's okay. If members want to contact you directly to talk about anything, you know, linked to the association or indeed what you're doing with Western Aviation, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
And absolutely, by all means. I mean, for whatever reason, either anything relating to Western Aviation or the council, you know, what I've always prided myself on is accessibility. We're, you know, on both the Air Charter Association and Western Aviation, we're quite small and easy accessible teams. So for the Air Charter Association, either through the main number through Madeline or direct email to me, which is chairman@theaircharterassociation.com. And also on the Western Aviation side, you can contact any of our locations or to call me or contact me directly on my email, which is quite simply nick.weston@westonaviation.com. That is weston, which is often confused. So we're very, very open and accessible. Anything we can do at any time, you know, whether it be through the association or through Western Aviation, we'd be very happy to do that. So let's say currently we have 4 locations at Western Aviation: at Humberside, Gloucestershire Airport, Cornwall Airport, Newquay and Cork in Ireland. And our website is www.westonaviation.com.
Great. Excellent. Thank you very much. And if you didn't catch any contact details, then of course we'll ensure we put all of that information on the show notes at the end of the episode, along with, of course, the main contact details to get in touch with the Air Charter Association itself. So just remains to thank you very much, Nick, for taking the time to talk with us on the podcast. And as I said at the start of the interview, I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot more from you in the future. So it just leaves me to thank you very much for being with us today.
And thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Take care. Bye-bye.
And you. Thank you.
My thanks goes again to Nick for taking the time to speak with us on the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed the interview. I'm sure you agree it was full of some really good information about what the Air Charter Association initiatives are going to be looking like for the future and how Nick plans to take the association forward as the new chairman. Now it's time for this episode's Job Spot. And if you would like to place a job on our Job Spot, then please do get in touch with us at the association on the usual contact details. There will, of course, be a charge, and this will depend on how many episodes you want to run for the position. But, of course, it's a great platform for you to get your vacant positions out into the market. This episode's job is for Charter Sales Representative. Oaklands Global is currently recruiting a Charter Sales Representative on behalf of their reputable leading business aviation client based in Biggin Hill. This is a permanent position with an attractive salary plus a competitive commission structure. The successful candidate will be working within the busy charter sales team, taking sales calls, dealing with sales emails, producing quotations, incorporating crew duty, checking airport aircraft restrictions, assisting customers and clients with all of their charter needs. Establishing and maintaining personal relationship with all customers and clients is a must. If you are interested in applying for this position, then you can apply online at www.oaklandsglobal.co.uk or contact Oaklands Global by calling 01892 536 472. Job vacancy is valid as of July 2019 and may not still be available if listening after this date. So, on to our competition. And if you've been listening to our previous episodes, then you'll know that this is your chance to win a free ticket to the Air Charter Association's award lunch on Wednesday, 16th of October. So for your chance to win, you'll need to answer the following question. What is currently the longest non-stop commercially operated flight? And this is based on distance, not flying time. So the longest non-stop commercial flight operated by distance. So if you know, send your answers to admin@theaircharterassociation.aero to win that free ticket. The closing date for your entries is the 30th of August. And best of luck to you all. We are again asking for your support on this episode for the association's charity Fly to Help. Fly to Help does amazing work with children and adults in desperate need of some respite, be that due to terminal illness, bereavement, or profound disability. And they do this using aviation and the magic of flight to provide fantastic experiences and memories. In our next episode, we will have Georgina Godfrey on the podcast, and Georgina is the programme coordinator at Fly to Help, and she's going to tell you more about this amazing charity, and you, of course, can find out more about Fly to Help via the links in the show notes. But for now, we're making our usual request for you to give what you can to the association's nominated charity. To donate to Fly to Help, go to www.flytohelp.org/howtohelp. And click the Donate Now button, and please give what you can. It really does make a great difference to those who really, really need it. So thank you very much for your support. So looking forward to next episode. As I've mentioned, we'll be having Georgina Godfrey, Programme Coordinator of Fly to Help, on the podcast. And Georgina will be telling us about the incredible work that they do using aviation to support fantastic experiences for those that really need it. So don't miss our next episode and chance to learn more about this great charity. Also, we're putting out a request now for two of our future episodes that will require interaction from the membership. We'll be having an Ask the Council episode, which will be coming up in September, which is your opportunity to submit your questions to the Air Charter Association's Council to get information on the Association and the Council and indeed any of the initiatives that we're planning for the future. We will also in September be holding an Ask the Expert episode, and we will start this feature off with an aviation lawyer joining us to answer any charter contracting questions that you may have. So if you're looking for a bit of free advice or information on charter contracts, then be sure to send in your questions. We really do want to make this podcast as interactive as possible and be a sounding board for the membership. So if you do have any questions for our Ask the Council episode or our Ask the Expert episode on charter contracting, then please do submit your questions to admin@theaircharterassociation.aero. So get your questions in now, and we'll need to receive your questions no later than the 23rd of August for them to be included in the Ask the Council and Ask the Expert episodes. And that about wraps up another episode of the Air Charter Podcast. We hope you've really enjoyed it. And as always, please hit the subscribe button on your podcast app to make sure that you get all of our future episodes. So thanks again to the Association's Chairman, Nick Weston, for his time on the podcast today. And thanks goes to you all for listening. And until the next episode, fly safe and bye for now. You're listening to the Air Charter Podcast, the industry's exciting new information and features podcast brought to you by the Air Charter Association.